This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for 800, thank you.
That's not the right answer. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
I hate my job.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. We got episode 50, bringing to you a chop sesh with the boys here tonight. It's just going to be the Mott crew. We do not have a guest on this week, but we did ask on our Instagram some Q&A questions from the users. We got a whole bunch of questions. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to them all. We'll answer as many as we can. But before I get any further down the line, let's introduce the other Mott members on here tonight. We got none other than Max Menti. How are you doing tonight, Max?
I'm doing good, Gus. I'm ready to go. As you can see, my Zoom background has been changed to the desk of SportsCenter. I'm ready to get some takes off here this evening. In the old fishing world, we got some great questions that you awesome listeners did write into. So hopefully it'll be an entertaining one for you guys. But I know my counterpart over here, Mr. Brian Eckel, he's got to get some things off his chest. Kind of a underwhelming weekend here after the Masters. Brian, how you doing tonight? Are you okay? Kind of the death of Rory McIlroy this weekend, amongst other things, your least favorite person on tour winning, and kind of just a snooze fest there on the back nine.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, guys, happy to be here tonight. But anytime Scotty Scheffler's leading a golf tournament, it's going to be a snooze fest. Guy goes into robot mode. He can't miss a shot. You just know what's going to happen nine holes out. Seemed like a slow, painful death getting into the back nine there on Sunday. Masters the last 3-4 years have been kind of that way on Sunday. We haven't had our good duel in a while, which really sucks. I don't want to blame. Usually you blame the course if someone's running away with it and the whole pack is sitting five shots back. But I'm not going to blame Augusta. I'm just going to blame Scotty for being boring and too way too good at golf.
Yeah, you can really tell we're in some desperate need of some musky fishing here to chat about after we're kind of just going on about the Masters. But Gus, what do you say? Should we just dive into some Q&A and maybe we can wrap up with a little bit of smallmouth talk? I know you've been out on the water, but let's save that nugget for the end. Let's dive right into the Q&A here. I'm ready to go.
Sure. Sounds good to me. That's kind of a change of schedule here. I kind of thought we were doing like a 3-hour breakdown unedited of the Masters tournament, Brian and Max.
Hey, we could
session there.
Be happy.
We could throw in a bonus
episode.
Hit us
up in our DMs if you guys want a 3-hour bonus unedited Masters recap.
Or just a nice little cordial sports chop sesh with Brian and I. We'll leave Gus at home for that one. He doesn't need to be a part. Just
we'll
Brian
do when
and
he
I
has a guy trip.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give Max and Brian the keys to the Mott Mansion. You know, I'll give them all the Zoom,
I appreciate the invite. Hey, come on now. All right, let's get into this Q&A. Let's roll.
All right. First up, we got from MuskyHunter21 on Instagram, is mayonnaise an instrument? No, Michael, mayonnaise is not an instrument. And sorry, horseradish is not either. So
instrument?
That was our first question. Yep.
Damn. I like the direction we're going with these Q&As, though. It's making me think.
You got to think on it? Dog, it's just a SpongeBob quote.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there is a world where mayonnaise could be used as an instrument. Like, I always found that a little bit misleading. I mean, anything could be an instrument if you get creative enough. I mean, it ain't going to sound good, but...
We got another 3-hour session of what can be an instrument, folks, here on Muskies on Tap.
All right. Let's get into a little bit more fishing related talk. We're warming up to the fishing related talk. This one's not directly musky related, but you know, in a way it kind of is. This question comes from Chuck the Duck underscore 760 on Instagram in the Mott DMs. Brian, I know you're gonna like this one. He asks, you swing by the old Quick Trip or whatever before fishing. Obviously, Quick Trip. What are you grabbing for snacks / drinks? Who wants to kick it off here?
Wow. I know Brian will. Wow. He's kind of like the snack king.
Snack god.
He's got it dialed.
Somebody's got to have an eye for snacks at 4:30 in the morning when we go to Quick Trip.
Because what sounds good at 4:30 is not what sounds good at 2 in the afternoon.
you'd be surprised. Starving.
Bugles don't sound good at 4:30 in the morning.
I have grabbed some bugles. Love me some bugles.
Some bugs.
No, you got to get at least one energy drink for everybody. Sponsored by Monster, so I got to go with like the white or blue Monty.
Is that a new sponsor of ours?
Yeah, just announced.
Oh, nice.
Grabbing like a big liter of water. Don't want to get a heat stroke out there. Almost happened before. And then I'm usually turning towards a snack bin. I'm getting some sort of kettle cooked chips, usually just a staple all around. And then we're getting creative, right? We're getting into the Bugles. We're getting into the Chex Mix. We're getting into, man, the Cheez-It Mix, Cheez-It Party Mix, something like that. The Munchies, all those things are just great, great to have. And usually they don't last too long when Max gets his hand in there.
Hey, well, let me respond to that in a second here. Just real quick. So we all kind of changed our backgrounds here this evening, and Brian's got a scrolling background of what appears to be his camera roll. I mean, we're not going to see anything that we don't want to see going through there.
Right? Is that what's going on mine? It just shows one.
You don't got any like hidden picks that are just going to pop up here.
I hope not. Not on the work laptop.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
All right. And also, you know, screw you for that Bugs comment. I'm not a bugle hoarder. You, if anybody, are the one that, you know, can delete a bag of chips with these.
I mean, that is true. Brian takes down a chip bag like no other.
Yeah, but Max is always the one who forgets to get an energy drink, and then the second one of us cracks one, I mean, he's got half it down the gullet.
All right, well, let me answer then what I'm copping. So I'm at Quick Trip early morning. I'm obviously grabbing a home-cooked Quick Trip breakfast sandwich. Typically go to standard sausage, egg, cheese, McMuffin type deal. And then obviously, yeah, if Brian isn't picking up the energy drinks, I'll usually grab my own. I don't know what the hell Brian's talking about that I don't get my own energy drinks. A lot of times, you know, snack wise, I'll probably go either Chex Mix or Gardetto's are kind of my two staples. And you know, when I'm at the counter, I'm obviously picking up a 6 milli of Spearmint Zin, probably either Spearmint or Cinnamon. Keep me dialed in for the day.
I think we're forgetting beef jerky, sunflower seeds. There's a time and a place for both of them.
Oh, and then a big thing that I get too, this is a little tip for everyone. A great thing to keep you full is Rice Krispie treats. So you'll see me grab those Mondo. Quick Trip's got those Mondo homemade Rice Krispie treats that are just a delight. They're just a delight. Sometimes you can get them with like a chocolate cover too. Typically don't advise that on warmer days unless you got a cooler. You know, I've made that mistake one or two times before. But yeah, usually just a big, big Rice Krispie treat. If we're getting real frisky, I'll get some Glazers, full box of Glazers. But I feel like that's normally more so for ice fishing, not musky fishing, because I'm not trying to have some Glazer fingers when I'm trying to work baits.
No, not at all. And I'm usually taking a bite of that big crispy treat. Those things are delicious, I gotta admit.
I will say that like those Quick Trip pre-made sandwiches you can get, I mean, those hit the spot at like 2 o'clock when you're starving on the boat. But I mean, those things are pathetic. Two pieces of bread, a little skinny slice of meat, and a piece of old cheese with no sauce. Nothing to write home about, but they do the job.
They got like that chicken salad one that's pretty good, but you're right, it doesn't come with much.
No.
I don't know if you can have that one or not, Brian, but That one's pretty solid. I'd say when I go there in the morning, I'm definitely gonna grab sausage, egg, cheese, muffin for sure. Unless they got, sometimes they have some hash browns around. Sometimes they got the Western omelet bagel. Max knows that that's a staple there too, for maximum food in the morning to keep you full. And then I'll usually grab for sure bubblers. I'm a huge bubbler fan. I've been trying to wean off the, Red Bulls and Monsters. Every once in a while, if it's really a big grind, I'll grab a Monster or Red Bull for the afternoon, but the bubblers for in the morning. And then I'm a big time Gardetto's fan. And I think Brian and Max kind of already filled in on all the other snack voids there. So that's kind of our list from Quick Trip in the morning. All right, so let's do another question here. Let's do a couple here from Parker underscore Shu on Instagram. He initially asked, can you talk about how to work glide baits as well as boat control, speed, and yeah, as well as boat control and speed with slow baits is what he's asking. So
Why don't
I
you
would
run with that
definitely
one, Gus?
take us away, Gus.
All right, sounds good. So for glide baits, just like any pull pause type of bait where you can kind of let it hang or give it a pause, be sure to do that throughout the cast. Depending on the water temp, I mean, obviously when it's really, really cold, you want to do it more. The fish are slower moving. But as the water temps go up, or you're working with summer temps, or maybe like a late summer cold front or something like that, you can still work glide baits relatively quickly, I would say, with short taps, depending on if you're using a bait where you can use your reel, where you just gun the reel, or you're using. I know with certain glide baits, I do like to just not do as much with the rod and with the reel, and then there's some glide baits where I like to tap the rod tip a lot more to give the bait some erratic side to side and kind of make it do random things. I mean, you don't always want a bait that just goes left to right perfectly every time. They look pretty, but that's usually the one that's going to hypnotize the fish the most. So definitely be sure to integrate some pauses in there. But with the boat control, that's probably the most important thing. I would have to say glide baits on a windy day might be one of the hardest things to do. I mean, if you're confident in a spot, every once in a while, I will just hit the spot lock button and let everybody fan cast for a second and then drift down or keep kind of rolling, depending on if we're using slow baits or not. That's always kind of a difficult thing to do, and it's usually easier to just kind of get out of the wind. But with glide baits, I would for sure move your boat under a half mile an hour, probably right around, 0.4 miles per hour, as opposed to if you're, fast rubber fishing or bucktail fishing or maybe even topwater fishing, you'd be going a little faster than that. So those are kind of my tips there. You also had another question about provide detail about water temps for pre and post spawn, in spawn fish, signs for each. I don't know if we're really going to, crossing my fingers here. I don't think many of our northern lakes here in Wisconsin are going to have to deal with, in the spawn fish, with the early ice off, the water temps that we're already seeing in the Northwoods. Many lakes being in pretty much already low to mid 40s for basin temp. I should hope by, mid-May, these fish should be through the spawn and going through the spawn or so. I mean, there's probably a few of the really large lakes where they might be kind of lingering around. Honestly,
Do you
there, it's
think
really all your best judge. What do you got, Brian?
if you like see muskie that are super banged up, like are they, I mean, I guess they could still be in the spawn, but likely out of the spawn maybe?
If you see a banged up muskie, especially if it's like hot in the figure eight or you catch it, it should be post spawn. I mean,
I'm
it
just thinking
doesn't.
because when I was in Madison, we saw the muskie up by the Wingert Dam there.
Yeah.
A couple of those had just massive scars on them, like white, pretty, recent scars, it looked like. So I don't know if they were fooling around, getting into the motion of things, or if some of them have spawned. I don't know. It
I
seemed
would
early.
assume before they spawn, they get all beat up. During the spawn, they get all beat up. And then once it's done, they just have all their wounds and it's going to take a while for it to heal. So, obviously, if you catch a fish with a lot of wounds on it, it's either probably going to be a male still kind of in the staging of a spawn hanging around, or a female that would be done. I mean, when they're in spawn mode, like if you see them pairing, I mean, obviously just use your judgment. Don't harass the fish. Let them do their thing. If they're pairing, they're not going to want anything to do with your baits anyways. I mean, that's kind of just what they do. They're in spawn mode. They're not really going to eat. That's why some lakes, if you go to and you only see a couple dink males, they're not eating and your temps are like 56 and you don't see a single fish for hours on end, you're probably dealing with some in the spawn fish. So if that's the case, then move to a system that would have a lot warmer water, like a smaller lake, darker water, something like that. So
I got a dumb question about spawning muskies. You know how they get all beat up and like they just kind of look tarnished after the spawn sometimes? Like how do they get those scars? Like is it do they like it can't just be from like rubbing up against each other, right?
Oh
Like they
yeah.
gotta be. You
I
think so? Like there's banging
th
bodies down low in the paint and
Yeah.
and
I
like
mean, using
do
their
they
teeth a little bit.
You think they nip at each other? Because like
Oh
some of those
yeah.
gashes are like
Yeah.
kind of gnarly. So you think they bite each other to like, hey, get the hell out of here, or
I think they
yeah,
attack each
kill
other,
you?
probably body each other against trees and rocks.
I think because when they're in the shallow water, they're susceptible to, like Brian said, if there's anything there, like on the bottom, like a rock or something, or trees they're banging up against, also would be the case. I mean,
No pun intended.
the one fish I caught in Iowa, I mean, those lakes were, there's zero chance any fish have spawned. I mean, we're working with, well below 50 for basin temps, and the shallows were getting into like maybe 51 or something like that. And that fish I caught on one of the sides was already all kind of scraped up. I don't know if that was from like wood up shallow, or if that was from teeth from another muskie, or what that exactly was, but I would assume like when the fish are moving up, as soon as they are pairing up or seeing each other, I'm sure they're beating the living snot out of each other to, claim territory or whatever they do in their little spawning
Get it
area.
on. Yeah.
Get it on. So yeah, I don't know if I have a good wrap up for that other than just kind of watch for that mid 50-degree temp. I don't think we're gonna have a problem with that in the Northwoods this year. Last year was kind of different when our ice off was like May 2nd. This year our ice off was, I don't know, ice off was in March and then it refroze and then it got off again. So it's a lot different case this year. So yeah, that's what I got for that.
We'll keep you posted on the water temps.
Yes, we will. Like I said, we're working with already most lakes into the low 40s for basin temps and even some a little bit warmer.
All right. Next question comes from Emily underscore Spring Springstro. I believe that is Micah's from Springy Tackle's wife. She asks, best lie you've ever told your boss to skip work to go muskie fishing. Or fishing, sorry, just fishing in general. I know I have one that comes to mind, and it's not really a boss, but I mean, Gus, I don't know. You're kind of your own boss since you're a fishing muskie guide, but one funny story for me was during COVID when I was still in law school, and it was during the winter actually, so it was not muskie fishing, but you guys were out ice fishing out in front, and I had a class that I had to be online for, and at that point, school is just kind of, I mean, that the whole online thing when everything shifted was just such a joke, and no one was really prepared for it, and it just became this thing. And so I think I remember we all kind of conglomerated up at that time. It was just the cabin, And we were kind of up there hanging out, and you guys were outside just hammering crappies, and I could see you guys and perch and everything like that. I literally just shut my laptop, and I think I sent an email to my professor on my phone and just said, "Sorry, the internet crashed. I don't know what I don't know what to do here. Can't stay on the Zoom.
That's
You
solid.
know, easily probably could have just streamed the class from my phone or whatever, but yeah, that was really my odd day. Luckily, I don't have to deal with that as much these days, but yeah, it's just funny because just think back to that, how much of a joke that was, and got to go out and hammer
Yeah.
some crappies with you guys. I had a lot of fun, so definitely
Hell
do not
yeah.
regret the decision.
No. Brian, I think there was one or two similar times when you and I would leave Eau Claire to head up north, where you or me or maybe both on different occasions, we were just chilling in a, I feel like I had to do that once where I was chilling in a Zoom on the way up north
Yeah, we did that a few
on.
times. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever like had to lie to get out of work. I'm sure I had some bogus excuses when I lived in Minneapolis, and but I'm thinking about that job, and I worked remote there a couple of years ago. I know I worked out of the boat a couple times.
Oh yeah.
Brought the laptop out, tried to get some really shitty connection through a hotspot, and did the bare minimum, waiting to clock out.
I remember I had like had a call, like a pretty important call, and I was waiting for it to come in all day. It was like a Friday, and I was working all day at the cabin, and Gus was like, "Hey dude, we gotta go out and fish, like just primo conditions." And I was just waiting on this call, and I was like, "God, you know, like I know it's gonna come right when I get out onto the boat." And I remember literally we pulled up to the first spot, and sure as shit, my phone starts ringing. And it's the guy. I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." I don't know if Gus, you remember this, but I was like, "Yeah, of course. Like, hopefully you don't catch a fish or something right now." And
I think I was on the boat for this, or it happened another time too.
yeah. Well,
It
this
might have
time, and I
happened a
remember
few times.
we didn't catch one, but like I was on the phone, and like all you could hear in the background was like,
Zing.
and like a boat driving by, and the guy was like, "Are you on a boat right now?" And I was like, "No, dude."
Nah, no way. It's just our work atmosphere, you know?
Yeah, we like to keep things loose here. Like to have a good time.
Yeah, I don't know if I have any lie to skip work to go fishing. I think in the past I just say I'm going fishing, so I just say it straight. All right, we got a let's go with this one. We got a couple from Dances with Muskies on Instagram. Let's go with what's your number one confidence bait? Who wants to lead this one off? Because I know mine's kind of changed through the years, and I think it's always going to be a dynamic, changing thing. Just, you know, it's hard. It's easy to say that maybe like the last thing you caught a fish on is your confidence bait, but I for sure have like one that I'll toss on forever.
Yeah, I think it varies so much by season too. I was just gonna say, I think like in the early part of the season, like a 7-inch slammer or some sort of jerk bait, I've always liked around opener and early part. And then getting into like the summer and late summer would be a bomb squad flap tail. And then getting into the fall, I've always liked the Susie sucker for fishing like 15 to 25 feet of water.
Yeah, I would say probably for me, even though it had kind of a rough year last year, would just be like the 10-inch weighted Suic. I don't know. It's that one, or if I throw on a tube, I feel at home. Those two I feel like can get her done. Opener to close for sure for me. I think that's what I got. What about you, Max?
I mean, yeah, I'd probably go early season, any variation of a crankbait in either like all black or like a brown color. Seems to always produce a handful of fish early season. I always got confidence with the crane really all year round, but yeah, crankbait probably early summer, honestly, like you know, a few of those old trusty bucktails we've had forever, like that double 10, the double 8-1 that we've thrown forever. You know, supernatural color. Let's see, fall. For me, you know, yeah, probably either a tube. I'd probably say tube or Medusa. But yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, or I don't, it's so tough, man. I mean, I
It's
got
changed a
confidence in
lot.
a, I don't like have one that I guess really stands out. Like I was just saying Medusa, and I'm like, well, I feel like I caught
Like
more
the
fish
reg
on
dog.
bulldogs. Yeah, the reg dogs the last few years. And
I got an easy answer. My confidence bay is whatever I'm putting on next.
yeah, for like
Yeah,
10
Brian,
minutes.
you're always confidence, Brian. I got a big bag of confidence baits and I rifle through them.
Yeah, good question, but yeah, tough in the sense that, like, I agree. I think it changes so often.
Yeah. So let's go with another one from Dances with Muskies, and this is kind of the opposite question. What's your least favorite pattern, presentation, or tactic? So, I mean, pattern might be like the time of year or how you catch fish, but let's just go with like how to work, how you work a bait or a type of bait and how you work it. What's your least favorite way? It's kind
I
of a
can kick
tough
us
one.
off.
You got
I
it?
got, yeah, I have an answer for sure. It's really fun when you catch fish doing this, but it totally sucks when you're doing it. And that's just ripping big rubber. Like I despise doing. I mean, anytime you're musky fishing, it's freaking great, but like you're lying through your teeth if you just love ripping massive rubber all day. Like it's not easy on the body. You're not catching fish, it's a pain in the ass. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know it's not that I dislike doing it as much as it just kind of like hurts. So I don't know.
It's
I
true.
guess it's a tricky question in the sense that like you're kind of picking the lesser of all good things because you know, like I said, I mean, there's really no time of the year that like I don't like to musky fish. I think every season has got its perks. There's no type of way I like despise musky fishing if there's a certain bait that's like on,
No,
you know,
it's not
do it.
despise. It just says least favorite. I
Yeah.
mean, I'll
So I
do a
guess least favorite would
despise.
be you're ripping. I'm sure you have.
Just ripping rubber. It took me a
No, I
while to
love
think
ripping
of
rubber, but big
it.
rubber, I'm talking. I love ripping, you know,
Oh,
like
okay.
a 7.5 inch tube, a reg dog through the weeds, even a mag dog. Like it's fun to rip them through the weeds, but like when you're just having to throw like when it's big rubber season and you're throwing like 10 inch tubes all day, pounders, husky Medusas, like just gets old if you're not, if you're, you know, you're not the one that's getting the rip.
True. Yeah, it sucks when on that day somebody catches one on like a 4 to 6 inch bait and you're like, okay, come on.
Right.
Or so, yeah, or you're ripping all day and then the person in front of you catches one on a single eight or double eight bucktail. You're like, golly.
Demoralizing.
All right. I mean, I would say at least, man, I like bucktail fishing 'cause I like when you have to go fast and I like when they come flying in the figure eight. I guess it would be maybe when they just kind of eat a bucktail in a boring way, if that even makes sense. I don't know.
Man
It's
just
hard for
likes
me to
musky
pick.
fishing too much.
I don't know,
Totally
man.
sucks when they crush a bucktail and out on the
I
cast and you
didn't
get to
say
fight
crush a
them.
bucktail. When they eat
Just
it
when they,
lazy and you still catch them.
yeah.
That doesn't mean I catch them. I lose them sometimes because sometimes they eat them. That's honestly, yes. Okay. I'm gonna rephrase it. When they eat a bucktail where you think it's a weed, and I know you guys and plenty of people out there felt that, like sometimes they latch on from behind and swim with it, and you just kind of feel like the blades stop and you just kind of burst through a weed. Though that's like the highest percentage way of, like, at least for me, on losing a fish on a bucktail is because, like, I don't at first realize that they hit the bucktail. So that's my least favorite way that the muskies hit it. And that's like a, I guess that could be considered a pattern when muskies just clamp on bucktails and you can't tell that they're there. I mean, I guess that's my answer, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, get you.
I'd kill for that right now. Well, I know it
Starving,
sounds
starving.
bad. Like, I know I'd kill for a muskie to eat a bucktail out in the cast, but I mean, realistically,
I get you.
when they do it like that,
And you get a
you
shitty
know,
hook set.
you'd prefer they crush it 10 feet from the boat or they crush it on the
Yeah.
third turn, obviously.
It's
Brian,
just
if you
like,
don't say what I think you're gonna say, I'd be very confused.
I hope I
What do you
am,
have,
because
Brian?
I thought a lot about it and I'm like, what the hell? I can't think of anything. I'm like, oh, no way.
I know what it
Trolling.
is. Yeah, I figured so.
Trolling. I'm not a fan. I don't like the tactic, the presentation. It's lazy. Yeah, it's effective,
Yeah.
but I didn't come out on the boat to just put out a freaking robotic spread of baits and just wait for it to alarm me that there's a fish on my line. I want to hunt them. I want to be the hunter. I want to catch my own fish. End of rant.
So if you caught your PB trolling, would you recognize the fish? I mean, would you even tell people about it?
Yeah, I'd recognize it, but I mean, it just wouldn't feel the same. I'd be much more proud of a 50 casting than I would of a 50 trolling.
But you're still feeling the fish
Wow.
on artificial, man.
That's a
I'm
take.
not. I'm not. The engine is. The bait maker is.
The engine.
Hey, you ain't got to set the hook. You start reeling like a little kid.
Damn. Tell us how you really feel, Brian.
No offense to any of our trolling guys out there.
There's gonna be some mad people out there after that one.
All right, so to keep on the train for Dances with Muskies, we got another question asking least favorite cliche saying from a non-muskie angler, besides the they eat all my slash the blank. I know what he's kind of getting at there.
Eat all
They're eating
wall
all
ass.
the eating all the walleyes. Man, I mean, that's kind
I
of like
guess
the biggest one.
I don't know. Yeah, that would be the main one. I guess the one that I've gotten for a lot of friends who like have never musky fished, especially when I get back from a little bender weekend where I tell them we fished for 26 hours in the water and we didn't catch anything. They're like, why the hell do you do that? Just go catch bass, go fish for walleye and actually catch stuff. Like, that's not what it's about. Start to lose
Drew,
my
you wouldn't
temper.
understand. You just can't explain it. You just got to be there. And then they are,
Yeah.
and then they're like, this is boring.
They'll learn one day. Yeah,
What's your
so
least favorite cliche saying from like a musky angler to a musky angler?
you
Like,
have
I don't
one?
know. Well, I don't know if it's like cliche, but my like least favorite thing is like when like, well, it's kind of like two-sided. So like if you like screw up an eight, and like the guy next to you or whatever is like, yeah, that one was probably gonna eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst thing to hear. Like, yeah, I know, I fucked up. Like, sorry about it. Or like on the reverse, like, I don't know why I didn't eat. Like, I did all I could to get it to go. And like, you're like back at the footage and you're just like, yeah, that was a terrible, terrible fish
Yeah.
bait.
Yeah, that's all like an in the moment thing you don't realize, but yeah,
I think it's more so
definitely
like
not fun.
when somebody says like, yeah,
Yeah.
that one would have gone. That one probably was
Yeah.
gonna be like, oh
That's
no
no
shit,
fun.
thanks.
Yeah. The way to point out the obvious is like, oh, here, you want the rod? Here, you try.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your service, Dances with Muskies. We're gonna move on from the few other ones. We gotta get to some other people here. I know we're not gonna get to them all, unfortunately, but thank you for submitting. Good one, I thought here, a little bit more local to the northern Wisconsin area. But J Poor 29
Shout out.
asks, shout out,
Shout out.
asks, best dive bar in the North Woods.
Ooh. Damn. I got a couple off the top of my head. I'm sure y'all are probably gonna say one of them.
I mean, let it rip, man.
I might botch these names.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
think I am. 1A. I don't want to be giving away any spots here because I never fished around this place or nothing, but would be one of my favorite bars.
You don't want to support local businesses?
It is a great bar, great in the summer, great little outdoor seating, little tiki bar. I mean, it's got everything. It's got fish mounts, anything you can dream of. Staff there is excellent. And then Burnt Bridge would be my 1B option. And we've stopped there a few times on the way out of a long day to grab a brew or lunch. And that's just a Your picture perfect up north bar with a lot of outside seating as well.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much stole mine. After you're hitting on the local businesses, I thought you were gonna say like Applebee's or something like that.
McDonald's at 5 a.m.
Yeah, Burnt Bridge is definitely one up, definitely up there for me. Probably my favorite bar in the Northwoods. I'd say a great dive off of Highway 70, Nutty Squirrel. It just delivers every time. They got a great selection of beers on tap. They got pull tabs.
Wing
You know,
Wednesday.
they got great wings on Wing Wednesday. They always have some obscure baseball game playing or some reality TV show, going on, like your classic dive bar typically does. Great bar. Usually, filled with people, good vibe in there. Food solid. But yeah, I'd say Burnt Bridge, Nutty Squirrel. Those are a couple of my favorites for sure. Gus, what about you?
Yeah, you kind of took mine. I was definitely gonna say Nutty Squirrel. That's always been a true classic for us. Otherwise, not too far down the road from Burnt Bridge is the Hillside. Haven't been there a bunch, but man, that's a sweet little dive bar. Definitely go in there
Great
if you got.
pizza. Shout out, Clay.
Yeah, shout out Clayton for showing us the pizza there.
Shout out.
And that is definitely a spot that we will have to stop at more, I would say.
We're I mean, we can't just move on from this question without mentioning the Marina Bar. That might be the dive bar of all dive bars. You ain't going there for
Oh, that's
food, but the
right.
camaraderie, the drinks, the music, the scenery.
I guess it
Jeez.
didn't say food. It just said best dive bar.
I know. I mean,
So
that's
I
got to be
forgot
number
about that.
one. If we're just
Marina
going to
Bar
get
is number
drunk.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many good times at the old Marina Bar that's been frequented quite a
We
bit. Plus killer bands on Thursday night. Killer band.
oh, killer.
we've gotten good at showing up in the last hour before they close and just hammering about five or six and getting out of there.
It's got one of the better views, I would say, bar
Yeah.
wise.
Yeah.
Yep, I would say Marina Bar is top tier. All right, on the I guess I mean we might as well stay on the agenda of maybe drinks or meals. Droppo 93 asked favorite post-tournament meal and beverage with the little beers cheersing together emoji, probably saying like if we had a good tournament compared to maybe if we had a bad tournament. I don't know if the answers differ, but hard to beat a burger and beer for myself. That would be my simple answer.
I think my drink would pretty much stay the same whether I got skunked or whether I won the thing. I'd probably be going with like a Crown and Seven per huge, good in
There you go.
celebration, better in defeat. And then post-tournament meal, man, I don't know. I know I eat a lot, like usually a couple servings after a tournament, being out there all
Right.
hangry all day. But I
Putting
will
in the
say,
work.
I think like usually when we get done with a long bender, your dad will whip up some wings and potatoes. And I mean, there's nothing that hits the spot quite like that.
Yeah, the cheesy potato dishes.
Oh,
Those
just what
things
I
are
need.
unreal. Delicious, savory. Yeah, I guess I'd add on to mine definitely a bourbon old fashioned is probably, sweet or sour. Doesn't
That'll be
matter,
the
is
trick.
probably pressed. Doesn't e either way, some sort of old fashioned would be the way to go.
Max,
Yeah.
how do you take the pain away?
I mean, I don't think anything gets drunk. I don't think anything gets
Drunken?
drunken
Drank
quicker
into
than
the
that first beer after a tournament day. Really, no matter how it goes, like you're dehydrated, you worked your butt off all day, and that thing's gone in like four sips.
Bull
Yeah, good one.
lot
Does
what?
that even exist anymore? They still selling those beers?
I don't know. Couple.
No,
Too
nah, I go with something a little heftier. You know, typically I'm kind of hungry, so I typically go with like a good amber beer.
kind of hungry.
You know,
I'm drugs hungry.
as the Germans say, seven beers equals one meal. So you really can, you know,
Do they say that?
choose your adventure. Yeah. The one German guy that I met when I was abroad told me that one time, and I mean, I have no reason not to believe him. So same nutritional value, seven
I
beers.
believe
You
you.
know, you get your
I
carbs, you
believe you.
get your calories, you get everything you need. You're just a little bit more tuned up after having seven beers than you are after, you know, a meal.
Yeah, same amount of probably more calories, honestly.
Yeah. Don't read the nutritional
Right.
labels on
That
beer.
ain't important.
Yeah, those calories don't count, I'm pretty sure.
Liquid calories never count, no.
Right. Anything eaten before like 11 a.m. doesn't count, and beer doesn't count for calories. Pretty sure that's how that works.
Dietitian heard it here first.
Yeah. It's a guy that's pillar of health. All right, I got a question here from Senior.Mark Murphy. Shout out. Excited
Shout
for him to
out.
be on the PMTT trail this year with his brother, which kind of pertains to this question here. I might reword it a little bit just because it's a little harsh. But he asks, when should I bury a 10-inch Jake in my brother's head when he's not focusing on bow control?
You read it word for word. You didn't even.
Well, I think the spirit of the question is, you know, when are you throwing fisticuffs on the boat when somebody pisses you off? You know, when does it get to the point that you got to just throw down and let them have
You're
it?
the perfect guy to answer that. You seem to
What do
throw
you
them
mean?
up quite often. I see you and Brian always drop the mitts with each other. I mean, you guys are at freaking wit's end up there in the front deck for asking I
who's
mean,
getting first through the spot there. I mean, that's.
you look at him wrong, and those mitts are on the deck of the boat in a second.
Well, it's never unprompted. I mean, I'll say, you know, Gus, I'll give you your flowers. You're great at boat control. All right, you heard it here first. I admit it. I always got confidence when Gus has got
I
the trolling motor
appreciate it.
pedal under his foot. So I never get mad at you for any boat control. I mean, I think there's times where we differ on, you know, maybe where we should be fishing in a given spot that we'll have our little quips
For
here and
sure.
there, but I think that's natural after spending as much time we do together in the boat. Brian, I get mad at you when you take when you we switch row tow on who's thrown out of the front of the boat.
Yeah, I know
That's when I
that.
get mad at you. You know, I step back and I finally get up to the front of the boat, first bait across their face, and I go take a sip of water or Gatorade. And next thing I know, I'm back
Well,
in fuel.
I'm being nice. I want to get out of your way while you're getting a snack or getting a drink, so I don't hook you in the back of the head, and I'm gonna move farther away to get some space. Nothing wrong with
Then he's
that.
got to like pry you out of the front
I mean,
again.
no, I'll give it right back without a fight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Gus, when do you want to kill Brian and I the most when we're in the boat? Oh,
I can
God.
answer that
I think
for
it's.
him.
Go ahead, Brian. Let me see what you got.
I was
Either.
just gonna say, when I switch baits every 5 minutes,
And then
I
dump
mean,
the
they're
bait that you're switching on the floor of the bait box. Yeah.
yeah.
That might be the biggest thing is the organized box that I ever so delicately put them all into place. By the end of hour three on day one, that thing is just a freaking ball wreck all over the deck. But is what it is. When you got Brian up there switching baits all the time, you know, Max switches baits here and there too, and just kind of happens. But yeah, that'll get on my nerves a little bit. 'Cause you know, I usually like to try and keep a clean deck or at least an organized box of some sort. I think that's I think yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on the other thing, Max. Obviously, we differ on spots here and there 'cause like you said, spending that much time in the boat together, it's bound to have something we don't agree on. So definitely And if you
typical, very natural, talk through it. Catch fish, forget it all happened, and then go from there.
I'm chuckling here, Gus. I'm gonna skip your turn real quick just to get this question off before I forget. CJ Scott, Charlie Scott, 1038 on Instagram. Shout out to Charlie. Not really a question, but he said, please try and convince Brian that the ultimate trailer for a 10-inch tube is a mini Medusa.
Oh my god,
hold on,
yeah. Let him cook.
Cooking.
Let him
cook. what else you say
Oh, that's
this
it
guy,
you only
this
got
guy,
the
this
one.
Guy's got some ideas here.
what about a top raider with a mini Medusa trailer? You're hitting all your layers of water. You need a buoyant top raider, but might work.
That's one of your worst.
That might not work.
It's like a hopper dropper.
That's
how many hooks
so you're
are
saying
you?
You have like a yeah. Hold on here. Watch your hooks there, kid.
Yeah, we
you
don't
just
need
do
a,
the one on the top raider, two on the Medusa.
Yeah, no. Hooks aren't a problem there.
We don't
we'll
need
take
a
care of
we
it.
Don't need a hashtag boycott Brian.
We got weights and fish.
You got multiple hook rigged top raider with deuces hanging off the back.
We gotta watch Brian
sink.
This year.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go with we got two questions here from Matt.Vavrock. Shout out, Matt.
Shout out.
How does Iowa compare to the water you normally fish? I would say the waters that we fish in Iowa, you know, the clarity of one of the lakes wasn't too far off, but like, you know, the color, I should say, but it don't typically fish that kind of reservoir. I mean, we don't have shad here. I guess that's probably the biggest piece, is that we don't have shad as a primary forage base at all. But I mean, I think relatively a good amount of it was similar. I mean, you had weeds, some of the shoreline timber, but I guess I would just have to say that the shad was different, and it seemed like maybe the way that the fish were setting up seemed to be a little bit different. But I guess that was only my one experience was pre-spawn muskies in, you know, late March, so things could be completely different. But I don't know if I have too much on there. I think they compared actually relatively close to just a flowage with, you know, a decent amount of weeds and lots of timber. So that would be my answer there. But he also has another question saying, or asking, what part of the PMTT trail are you guys most pumped for this season?
Tune in next week for our PMTT Megapod preview.
That will
Gus,
definitely have that kind of covered. We'll be talking about the whole trail this year. But honestly, I would say out of the trail, I guess I have to say that Minnetonka I'm probably most looking forward to, just because it's the only new body of water we're going to. Like checking out new bodies of water. I don't know. You hear mixed reviews on it. There's plenty of people that are like, oh, love Tonka. Tonka's awesome. And then there's plenty of other people that are like, Tonka sucks. Don't ever go there, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of just pick and choose what you want to hear. But I always like new water. But I guess a very close second would be Cave. Cave Run is just a cool, whole different animal. I'm pumped for Cave.
I'd probably say listening to our cabin mate Nick's freestyle raps after he has a few cocktails and he thinks he can sing and rap, probably one of the most things I'm looking forward to.
That's pretty good too.
But yeah, we'll dive into all the PMTT talk next week.
Oh,
we'll kind of
yeah.
save the goods.
Sorry, yeah, I guess I read it wrong. I was just looking at like where we're going, but yeah, the camaraderie and Nick rapping is definitely numero uno.
All right, let's see here. I had one teed up for us. Oh, here, there is one that came through the slid through the DMs. Jack Kraus sliding in the DMs.
Shout out, Jack.
Shout out.
Only gonna answer this one just because he brought up my least favorite lake in all of Vilas County. He said, here's a question I have for the next Q&A on the pod. How do you pick apart some of the bigger Vilas County waters, such as LVD? What structure, cover, elements, etc. should I target first, especially with lakes like LVD where it's so vast? Thanks, fellas. Love tuning in every week.
He says lakes like LVD, but you just want to know about LVD?
Jack, I appreciate you writing in. Let me save you some time, brother. You got plenty of other options to go fish up in that neck of the woods.
or we're just the wrong people to ask about LVD.
Not so much Gus, but yeah, definitely me. I got beef with that lake. But yeah, Gus, you want to help out targeting maybe some bigger what to target on some bigger water in Vilas County. You know, there's a handful of bigger lakes in the system. What are some of the just kind of first things you're looking at when you get out on the water? Anything different from, you know, say a 200, 300 acre lake when you get out on some of those Vilas County bigs?
I mean, well, one, I ain't going to bleep that out. I got no problem freaking talking about that lake. Not going to lie. I kind of have beef with it as well. Plenty of, you know, big lakes up here, but LVD is kind of a beast of its own since it's got like such a weird, diverse water clarity and weed growth out there is crazy. But on a big lake like that, usually they're pretty popular for like panfish and stuff. I'll typically try and talk to people at the launches like, hey, what are you catching today? You catching perch, you catching bluegill, blah, blah, blah. And kind of ask like how big, like what depth. That kind of gives you like the right idea. Like I know there's been times where I ask them, like, oh, are you know, catching perch? Oh yeah, in like 10 to 12 feet of water. And I'm like, all right, then I'm probably going to cover that water depth first and look for like the best weeds there. You know, a lake like that, it's got some deep water, but you know, majority of that lake is really shallow, but typically lakes that large have a lot of deep water. So you look for your biggest shallow water flats closest to the deepest water and kind of find your best weed edge and kind of start from there, start from like one area. I would definitely pick apart one section of that lake. Don't try and run around that lake all day long. That would be the biggest part. I've always tried to break that lake and other similar lakes like that down, where I know the first few times we fished it, we were just burning gas for no reason and it wasn't helping, where normally I'd be like, all right, I'm going to pick apart this weed bed, or I'm going to go around the islands here. I'm going to pick apart that shoreline, the south shoreline, the west, east, north, you know, whatever. And just kind of pick that apart. Cause truthfully, a lake that big, you're not going to just go and do in a day. You can't just say like, oh, I'm going to go do LVD in a day and that's good. That's a lake you gotta pick apart for a summer or two.
LVD is one of those lakes where there's so many good looking spots, like all the deep weeds around the islands, if you can find the deep weeds in like Rice Bay, it looks so good. And I've been out there at least three times with you guys and I've never seen a muskie. So maybe just, you know, wrong place, wrong time. But I mean, I love fishing it just because it's a fun lake to fish, structure and cover wise, but not much success for me yet. Yeah, a lot of pike and bass.
Depending on the time of year, the bass will crush musky baits out there too.
Dan, all jokes aside, don't let me discourage you from going out and figuring it out on your own. I do think it's just a you know, it's got a good reputation for a reason. It's just not one that I got a lot of good memories of that. Let's just leave it there. let's see here.
All right.
Gus, you got one?
So we got a question here from _ Woodsy asking, how do I know if I have a bite on the line?
Great question.
That's a fantastic shout out, Woodsy, for...
Shout out.
Anybody got an answer there? I mean, that's a tough one there.
Yeah. Really got to dive into the archives here. All right, let's move on. Yeah, let's, to let's...
A
question. Tell him to get out on the water more and hit us back.
Yeah.
Should I? All right. I think I got another one here.
Okay.
I'll be curious what you guys think of this at all. All right. So we got a question here from Fishing PA _ Ryan Reed. Shout out, Ryan. Shout out the Musky Hunks.
Let's go.
Let's go. Shout out. What's the oddest thing you've encountered on the water?
I feel like we've kind of answered this in so many ways and other Q&As, have we not? I mean,
I think a little bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The only one that I can really think of is very odd is your musky gus that hit your bulldog that was resting just over the gunwale of the boat, like a foot out of the water.
Oh, yeah, while I was eating a sandwich or whatever, yeah. Like taking a break. That was...
Yeah, I think we've hit on that before too, but that was definitely probably the strangest thing I've ever seen out there.
That one didn't make any sense at all.
I do
have one, actually.
Yeah, go ahead, Gus. You got it.
I just thought of this. I was fishing with my buddy Sam in September, and I had what happened to... Ben Stone that one time where he had the fish porpoise right in front of him, you know, like just behind the bait where like you see the head come up and just stare at you. Except unfortunately it didn't eat or fall or anything. And I think this fish was like 10 feet in front of the lure, or I'm pretty sure a porpoise was staring, you know, directly in my eyes being like, you know, F you, I'm just going to go away and not do anything. And show myself and peace out. But it like just swam back down. And then I brought the, I don't know if I had like a swimming dog or a bucktail. I know I was doing some sort of straight retrieve, and I whizzed it by its head and it just freaked out and left. And I'm like, all right, that didn't make any sense. Like, why did it porpoise like in front of the bait and also like, like less than 20 feet away from the boat? Like that doesn't make any, I don't know. That was just a really weird encounter with the fish.
Yeah. I guess if it's like just musky specific, because we've kind of answered like outside of musky stuff, just weird shit we've seen like on the water and boat ramps and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I think like muskies just be musky. And
yeah, one of the other most odd ones or coolest or strange was when our buddy Jack was on the boat. And I mean, he'd only done this like maybe once or twice throughout the day, and he bombs his cast out there and he's like, oh yeah, now we got a fish, 3, 2, and right as he said one, he sets the hook, catches like a little 30 inch fish, whatever it was.
How about the time that Jack set the hook on a really small fish and didn't it like fly out of the water like,
oh, that was Brian, weren't you there? Or no, that was me, Jack, and Mitch. We Jack went on a tear, and I think he hammered like 3 fish in a very short window. But the first, I think it was the first one he caught was on a mid Medusa, and it was like a 28 incher. And that dude's got a powerful hook set, and he brought that thing flew out of the water and went over the trolling motor upon hook set. It looked like one of those, like, you know, things you see on your Instagram reels of like those bass guys who like just wind up and set the hook on like a, you know, a 1/2 pound bass, and it just goes flying over the boat.
That's all I'm trying to be happened. This year.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I mean, he like held the fish like that. And he's like future 50 incher, even though he just crossed its eyes over the trolling motor.
Healthy release.
I mean, what can you do when they want the Medusa? They want the Medusa.
Yeah, true. All right. Let's get back onto some more technical, musky chatter here. Pops wrote in Rich Manti on Instagram.
Shout out.
Yes. How do you determine when to fish structure inside out or outside in? Which I think is a very interesting question, because Gus, I'd be curious to hear what your rhyme or reason is for when we do go outside in, inside out. Typically for me, it's if we fish it you know, outside in and we know it's a good spot, we'll typically try to circle around and hit it inside out sometimes.
I think I'd classify it with like, you know, put like new spots, new lakes, you know, fishing a new area aside. If you like
have a spot you've caught muskies in before and you go there and you don't see a muskie and you fish it how you normally do, boom, I would go fish that inside out. You know, if it's a point, I'd go right up the gut and cast either side. If it's a big weed bed, I'd get right up in there, cast outside, you know, back and in. I would say going to fish it again if it's like a really good, well-known spot, or just go straight into fishing it the opposite way that everyone else does. I mean, that's always another solid tactic just to kind of differentiate yourself. Especially if you like don't see those people moving fish at all, like if it's in a tournament setting. Even though I know that there's been plenty of people that go in and fish the spot the same, where they catch a fish in front of you, catch a fish behind you, doing the same, putting the boat in the same area. But, you know, that's always, I don't know if I have an answer for that. Sometimes fish just eat when they want, but good spots, fish twice, inside out, outside in. Typically on weed spots, if you're just sitting up on top of a rock spot, I feel like you're already kind of spooking the fish if they're up there. I would stick to like a weed bed or some sort of weed type spot for that.
For sure. All right. Well, I think we can probably put a bow on Q&A. We got a handful more questions here, but I just don't think we're kind of starting to run out of time, and we do appreciate everyone who did write in. You know, we'll save them and maybe try to get back to them on a different Q&A time. But for time's sake, we got a big pod coming to you guys next week. Full PMTT preview with two other trail teams. We're going to be doing a Cave Run preview. We're going to be doing a full season preview. Just some different thoughts and insights. Probably talk about some history from some of the other teams that we'll be speaking with, because they've been doing the trail for longer than us. So should be a really fun episode. But before we let you guys go tonight, Gus has been out on the water doing some smallmouth fishing, mapping out some lakes. So Gus, let us know here, what do we got going on in the Northwoods for lake conditions? How's the smallie bite bent? You know, let us know how it actually feels to catch fish. It's been a while for Brian and I.
Yeah, it feels good, not gonna lie. You know, feeling the classic little thump of a smallmouth on some sort of finesse jig. We've already been catching them on, you know, small little Rapalas, small crankbaits, jerkbaits, fishing quite shallow, honestly. I think even one of the fish, I know there was a few fish that we lost on top of rock bars that only topped out at like 2-3 feet, so They're pushing shallow, but they're kind of finicky. They're not quite there. The water's still a little bit cold for them to be really aggressive and active. But, you know, working with larger lakes, the basin is probably sitting around, I'm sure, with some of the rain and cold nights we're getting, we're probably going to get some basin temps right around 39, 40 to about 42. Some of the smaller lakes, I would guess to be a little bit warmer. But when that sun was shining out, some of those days that reached like 58, 60 degrees, we really haven't had any like upper 60s plus yet here, like at all. Maybe like once this spring already, like when some of the ice went out. But warmest, shallowest temps that I've seen so far are like 50 to 51. About maybe 52. So fish are kind of doing their thing and, you know, pushing shallow here and there, bits and pieces, but it's not really all together yet. But it's going to be soon. I mean, like I said, everything's kind of ahead. I haven't really seen much for weed growth for the most part. Any of the weeds that were dead from last year are still just kind of dead. And if by chance there were some green weeds, they're kind of sticking around a little bit, but for the most part we're just kind of waiting for the temps to rise and the new weeds to come about. So for more on that, that'll just, you know, be with our updates on the pods to come weekly. There'll be a lot more once we're back from Cave Run. Obviously I'll be out in the water a ton more, but, you know, other than a bunch of smallmouth fishing, just scouting some new water, doing some auto charting. You know, it's kind of boring work, but I do enjoy it. It's very kind of fulfilling getting the lake all mapped out, and makes it easier for when you go end up fishing that in June or any time this season. So I'm just looking forward to warmer water ahead, and Max, we got Cave Run leaving in, you know, not too long after this podcast comes out. I think only like 5 days later, we're already driving down south, and you know, down there they got looked like it got pretty flooded. I know it was kind of brought to our attention via Facebook, and like some of the guys down there, like Greg Thomas and Tony Grant, posting about some of the floodings of Cave Run. A little bit of a concern, but I guess it's going to be, the water's coming down right now. Working with, got word that it's like mid to upper 50s temps right now, but I would assume it's going to only go up from there. We're getting a little bit more, you know, warmer temps rolling into the tournament. So it'll be interesting. Cave Run's a dynamic lake. Anything could happen. It could drop 20 feet. It could raise 20 feet. So we've heard. So I guess we just have to go in there with another open mind this year. And yeah, I think that's all I got for that. And an update, unless you guys got any more questions on that.
No, fun pod tonight. Obviously, you know, we apologize. We couldn't bring you guys a great guest here, but hopefully we'll make up for it in the coming weeks, and you guys were able to get through those first few minutes in the pod tonight and picked up a few good little informational tidbits. But yeah, enjoyed it, fellas. Good time for sure.
For sure. Yeah. We'll have more guests down the line, but appreciate everybody out there listening to another week of Muskies on Tap. If you want to go ahead and give us a follow on Instagram, Muskies on Tap. We'll be putting out a whole bunch of new stuff this year. I know we're going to be filming as much as we can, getting some cool content for you guys. You know, that's where we do our polls for Q&As if we ever do those. We got the bait of the weeks. That's how you can kind of hit us up with any questions you got. That's definitely the easiest way to reach out. Otherwise, if you want to get a hold of me, you can give me a follow or a message on Suggs Fishing Guide Service. That's on Instagram and Facebook. You know, I know we've kind of talked about smallies a little bit. I'll be running some smallmouth trips this May, some, you know, pre-spawn and kind of rolling into a little bit of the post-spawn too. I'll be kind of following that bite based on the size of the lake, rolling that into June a little bit, kind of during musky season. But, you know, smallmouths are still going to be active, so still going to target those as much as possible, and they're a ton of fun. But if you want to get a trip for that, just let me know. And otherwise, I got still some openings for muskies this midsummer. Reach out before all the peak times are taken. But if you're looking for a fall hunt, get in touch with me there. There's some peak times still available, so let's get you in the books to go after a big beast casting with suckers, or Brian's favorite, trolling. So yeah. But also want to give a quick shout out to Titletown Muskies Inc. for having me down to speak at their last meeting this month. Had a blast. Talked a little bit about tournament tactics, new water breakdown. Just want to appreciate them for bringing me down, and had a great time. Met some great people. You know, a couple people were listening to the Muskies on Tap. So shout out to those people who showed up and wanted to hear about muskies and come chat. So had a great time.
Yeah, that I'm excited. Hopefully they, I don't know if they'll release the video of your presentation, but it sounded like it was an interesting one and that it went well. So it was very cool. I always like doing the Q&A too. When people write in, it's just always curious to see like where they're coming from. You know, awesome of you guys to, follow us along on this fun podcasting journey about muskies. Appreciate all the support, everything like that. Makes it worth it. We're having a blast doing it. So Damn near a year in the books, gents. I think this is the 1 year mark, if I'm not mistaken.
Close. No, isn't that? That's not until post Cave Run. I think our first podcast last year was the post Cave Run.
Well, one's buried in the tombs,
buried
and the
in
tunnels.
The archives. Yeah,
X-Files. If we did record our first podcast that we ever recorded, never saw the light of day. So, technically, you know,
is
I guess
still around. Could that be a bonus ep at some point?
It could. The mics are going to be pretty gnarly.
I'm sure that somebody would find it interesting.
Maybe. I mean, probably like three people would listen, but you know, hey. More than zero, so it'd be worth it.
Come a long way in a year. It's been a good year journey. I mean, I think we can say we've hit a year
pretty much. Yeah, so yeah, thank you all for listening in on this crazy journey. We did not know it was gonna take it this far, so we appreciate all of you guys and hope that you tune in each and every week. I think if that's it. If you guys got anything else to add, otherwise, Ryan, take us away.
All right, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to everybody who sent in a Q&A submission. We appreciate you all. Y'all make this fun for us. And ladies and gentlemen, we are 3 weekends away from the Southern Muskie opener. Going to feel like a decade. Stay sane out there. Grab your bottle of Crown and some 7-Up. Sit back, relax. We'll be here before you know it. We will not be trolling on opener. Everybody can give a round of applause there. We'll be having some fun, ripping some rubber, cracking some cranks.
Crank.
Crank.
Peace.